Well, hello, EKN Nation. Welcome to a new edition of our EKN Debrief as we take a deep dive into the most recent Challenge of the Americas event at Musselman Honda Circuit in Tucson, Arizona. This is episode number 126. It's Wednesday, March the 6th. I'm Rob Howden, joined, of course, by David Cole as we were trackside in Tucson all last weekend for the event. Before we jump into the show, let's present our presenting sponsor for this episode. That is the Rawlison Performance Group. At the Rawlison Performance Group, we strive for ultimate success. We're more than just an arrive-and-drive race team with countless wins on the national and regional level. Our focus is on complete driver development, and that's where the success is fueled. We combined one-on-one coaching, on-track instruction, and intensive data debriefing with unparalleled kart and engine prep. Our program will help you raise your game. We'll take you to the next level. If that's your goal, RPG needs to be your next move. Experience the Rawlison difference. All right, David, let's bring you in. We've been home for a couple of days after being in Tucson. Overall, really just a fantastic weekend out there.
Weather-wise, it was certainly an upgrade to first class because it was sunny and warm. Obviously, when you're in Tucson, you're going to get a little wind. It wasn't the wind that everybody got north of us. We heard the Phoenix area and Las Vegas got hit with some strong winds Sunday, but sunny and warm. So that was a good thing. No rain like we had in February. But we got in round three and four of the six round championship. So with the second time at Tucson, so a unique situation going there in February, running in the clockwise direction. Clockwise. And then this time going in the counterclockwise direction, the normal layout. So kind of things were back to normal.
David, you mentioned the lack of rain. You broke your streak, which is good. Like a good thing to start the season off. You were wet everywhere you went.
Yeah, now I'm 3-for-4, so it's still a good batting average. I'm going to Florida this weekend, so I'm going to be 4 out of 5 because it is Florida. It normally rains. So, but right now, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
All right, folks, again, Challenge of the Americas, rounds 3 and 4, as David mentioned, of the 6-round championship, the finale in April at Sonoma Raceway. This event here taking place March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd at the Musselman Honda Circuit in Tucson, Arizona. The big talking point, I think, coming in was numbers, and it comes down to being there's so much racing going on, especially obviously in Florida on the East Coast, that a number of drivers who are part of the challenge moved to the kind of test practice weekend before this coming weekend's SCUSA Pro Tour Winter Nationals, where David's talking about being in Orlando. So, David, that was it, right? We still had good numbers, 11 drivers in the cadet category, right, in 60cc cadet. Still 25 and 100cc junior. They were down a little bit, though, as was senior down to 22. Obviously, one of the bigger ones was the senior shifter category had 10, masters only 4. All told, 79 drivers for the event at Tucson after having 114 at the opening rounds.
Yeah, it's not the number, obviously, Andy Sazeman and the challenge crew wanted. As you said, it's just the way the sport kind of is right now. We continue to talk about it, how the opening months of the season have become overloaded with the number of events that are happening and compared to years past. So I think that just anticipates that or accentuates that. It just amplifies it. And that's the hard part. So people are picking and choosing. And the strange part about it, though, is the majority of the racers or the entries, 114 last month, a lot of them were making their first race of the season. But when you look into it come March, there's regional races, club races that are happening now. So people were using that as kind of like their first race of the year period, and then going back to their regional or club program back home. So
yeah,
I think that has a lot to do with it. Because again, a lot of the national drivers that are competing at every event are essentially calling Florida home for the first 3 months of the year. So that has a lot to do with it. So, there is still the handful of Western drivers or even Central drivers. You know, you had the Texas Sprint Racing Series program going on at NOLA the weekend before Challenge. So even drivers from Texas were in New Orleans. So the week before, so that kind of hampers the trying to pull from that big state over to part of the challenge. You're still getting drivers from Colorado. And I said this in the outlap too, we're not getting the Canadians as well. I mean, yeah, we had a few there, but we used to get at least 20 drivers from Canada, and we're not getting those numbers. So you add, you know, we had what, probably 3-4 drivers from Canada that were there this weekend. You add in, you add 16 of that, boom, we're almost at the 100 mark again. So
yeah, exactly that. Yep. You're
right. That part's kind of confusing me. I don't know if they're just, if it's a border situation again, or if it's just, they want to stay, maybe there's too much racing going on in Canada too, you know, to where they're not coming down to the USA.
Yeah. It's one of the things obviously that the challenge of the Americas has always been kind of built on was the fact that there was always a good faction coming down from north of the border. And I know there was a couple of teams that were planning on coming down. They just obviously didn't make the trek. I'm kind of confused as to why that didn't happen. Of course, we know that Italia Motors came down for the first round. So they had a couple of drivers from Europe, plus a couple of their drivers. They went back home because they're starting essentially their, you know, their winter series, and their series gets started up at the Sumas facility. So it was tough to not have them there. But again, we're expecting things to kind of spin back around when we get to Sonoma for the finale. You get the local drivers from Sonoma, just the Northern California crew that won't need to travel. So we hope to see the numbers get back up to that, you know, 115, 120 for the finale at that fantastic track in Sonoma. David, one of the other things before we go to our first commercial break, as we wrap things up here with By the Numbers, the big move, obviously, for the challenge coming into 2024 was that it kind of opened up to not being just the Rock engines, right? Because it was obviously a Rock program for the last couple of years. Andy opening things up. He always had the 100cc categories open, but everything's kind of opened up right now. So we've got kind of some classes seem to be all IAMI, others all Vortex, and we even had a driver still on the Rock shifter in the Master shifter category.
Yeah, the unique part was the cadet category, which opened up to both engine platforms, IAMI and Vortex. We had a mix the opening month. This time, all around, it was IAMI for all 11 drivers. So that was that was unique. Don't know too much more about that. Of course, Junior was all Vortex as it was last month. Kind of a mix, you know, 6 Vortex in the 100cc senior category, 1 in the 100cc masters division. And as you said, we did have a Vortex, you know, the Rock shifter in Master shifter, but that was only one day. Bud Grossenbacher ran it one day, and then like he did last month, changed over to the KZ platform the next day. So majority, if not all the shifters are on the TM platform.
Indeed. So there's your By the Numbers as we get rolling into the debrief here. Episode number 126. David Cole and I are going to be, again, going class by class very soon. But after this break, we'll come back and we'll give you a quick look at the Paddock Pass presented by Parolin USA. What brand is known around the world for its innovation and success? It is SodiKart. The Soty brand returned in full force during the 2023 season thanks to the new exclusive importer, the Karting Distribution, led by industry veteran Terry Germanovic. The French manufacturer SodiKart is a leader within the karting industry, offering a wide range of products and services. The Soty Racing chassis line offers product in classes from mini karts to KZ, all based on years of development and championship seasons around the world. Soty Racing USA has expanded its dealer network over the last year, bringing the Soty brand to several local clubs and regional programs. The Soty Racing USA by PK Sports is the official race team, producing many victories in different levels across the board. And the new Pro Race Academy is designed to cater to the next generation of motor racing, helping boys and girls aiming to make their mark. Visit Soty-Racing-USA.com to learn more about Soty Kart chassis or call 954-634-5111 to become part of the Soty Racing USA network today. Soty Kart, the world leader in the karting industry. All over the karting world, everyone knows OTK is the gold standard for quality and performance. In the U.S., OTK USA is the source for all things OTK. From the legendary Toady Kart brand to the race-winning Cosmic and Esprit chassis, and now the new Red Speed and EOS brands, OTK quality is second to none. All 5 brands are winning races and championships across the country in national programs like the Ruck Cup USA Florida Winter Tour and the Challenge of the Americas, the SCUSA Pro Tour and Winter Series, and the Pro Kart Challenge, the United States Pro Kart Series, and the WKA Manufacturers Cup. and OTK products are also front and center on the podium of club and regional races from coast to coast. To learn more about a specific product line, you can find the OTK USA dealer near you, whether it's Tony Kart, Cosmic, Xpree, Red Speed, or EOS, visit www.otkusa.com. Specific chassis territories are still available, so kart shops interested in adding a winning component to their product lineups can contact OTK USA directly. History, success, family. Those are the three words that can describe Comet Kart Sales, one of the longest tenured karting businesses in the United States. The family-owned operation located just outside of Indianapolis has provided karts, parts, and services for thousands of racers in the near six decades of business. Their online store features everything you need, continually adding new parts to their product line. From full karting packages, new engines, spare or replacement parts, and safety gear, find it all at CometKartSales.com. Their Comet Racing Engine service has won multiple major events and championships over decades of karting and continues to offer the best trackside service in the industry, specializing in IAMI X30, IAMI Swift, and other two-cycle power plants. Make sure to head to CometKartSales.com or call them at 317-462-3413 to be part of the Comet Kart Sales family today.
Welcome back to episode 126 of the EKN Debrief as we have a good look at the past weekend's Challenge of the Americas event in Tucson, Arizona, the Musselman Honda Circuit, rounds 3 and 4 of the championship. Let's look at the paddock pass right now today, presented by Parolin USA. It all started in 1994 when former kart driver Albino Parolin decided to move his passion for karting from the track to his small workshop. That's when Parolin was born. Parolin USA is North America's source for Parolin products, and we run a factory race team at all the major Supercarts USA, USPKS, and Rock Cup USA events. The Parolin chassis lineup includes the Invader Shifter, the Le Mans Tag single-speed chassis for junior and senior drivers, the 28mm Opportunity model for the cadet classes, and the Daytona four-cycle chassis. Get on the chassis that's winning. Drive a Parolin. For more information, head to ParolinUSA.com. David, let's start off with the paddock pass. The bottom line is it was the kind of feel, and then you pushed this out in the reports. We were back to normal at Tucson.
Yeah, the direction of the racetrack dictates the logistics of everything, and it feels a little bit more normal because we'd never gone in the clockwise direction before at the Musselman Honda Circuit. So, you know, getting there, seeing the way the grid was set up, the way the racetrack was going, it just felt normal.
Yeah, scales in the same position.
Right. And of course the weather, you know, that's a big part of it too, because how often do you see it hail in Tucson? We've never saw that before in the 13 years that we've or more that we've been going to Tucson. Yeah. It's been a lot longer than that. Right. So, so that made it feel normal. Of course the paddock size did not feel normal, but you know, we just talked about that in the by the numbers, but all in all, getting there this time around, it felt normal.
So what was not normal for GFC was that they've been pretty busy. Let's talk about GFC karting and how busy they've been.
Yeah, they were in a double duty and back-to-back weekends for their program. The previous weekend, they had, you know, Gary Carlton was over helping out trackside karting services at the Texas Sprint Racing Series, while Sonny Cervelli, team manager, was helping their young driver development program at the Rock Sonoma event. So Sonoma, NOLA. And then this past weekend, you know, the majority of them were in at the challenge race. But Gary left Friday evening to go to Florida to help the shifter drivers do some testing over the 2 days at the Orlando Kart Center to get ready for this coming weekend. So it was there's a lot of moving parts to GFC. They kind of had a lot of testing to begin the season, and now they're all in now with racing with a busy schedule coming up.
Yeah, I can imagine sitting down at Gary's desk, right? Okay, Sonny, you're going here, I'm going there, this is what's happening. And of course, all the logistics that happen to be ready to try to do, you know, obviously events on both coasts. And again, one of the good things for GFC as well, David, is to have a solid dealer program that's there as well, right? With Formula Works, with Tony Siragusa and the crew. They're really kind of holding down the fort on the West Coast.
Exactly. Especially Southern California. Yeah. You know, that's the big part. Obviously Northern California is home for GFC. So that's, Sonny's background. He can drive what the half hour drive to Sonoma every day for that. So you have Formula Works in Southern California, Trackside Karting Services, obviously in Texas. They work with Speed Concepts Racing to help them with some trackside stuff on the East Coast, along with their Northeast dealers and the dealers Northwest and in central part of the country as well too. So they got all the different regions kind of covered. So, but Gary, that's one thing that, you know, Gary's really focused on is working with their dealers to help them understand the product. And Gary knows the product, you know, like the back of his hand, and getting the drivers to understand. And I think it's certainly showing well. You know, obviously we saw a number of wins last month and this month, and I'm sure you'll see a lot more this season.
Speaking of wins, the interesting thing about the challenge this year, it's kind of been like the jumping off point or the debut point for the new Pantano chassis with Greg Welch and Forward Direction Motorsports. Greg, of course, driving it in the 100cc Masterclass, but Dylan Archer also driving that Pantano chassis, getting a win on the weekend in the 100cc senior category. One of the things, David, was out front of their tent right there in Tucson over the weekend was a new shifter cart chassis for Pantano. And you and I got a chance to kind of have a look over that a little bit. And it was a lot of people were stopping to have a look at that shifter chassis.
Yeah, it's very similar to their single speed, but that's the focus of the manufacturer has been single speed racing. They don't even have a cadet line. This is now their shifter line that they just now started producing because the company is only a couple years old. And the owner and former junior world champion, Giorgio Pantano, you know, he's single speed guy. He's focused on that. So, it's interesting to kind of see the development of a brand new brand, you know, kind of similar to what we saw with GFC in 2018. This is something new, with Greg Welch and Forward Direction Motorsports working with a manufacturer in Italy, but, you know, being the focal point of the brand here in the USA. So, interesting. Yeah. And, again, there's little manufacturing trinkets and different uniqueness about the Pantano chassis that certainly separates it from the rest.
There's a couple design elements in there that were quite interesting that kind of caught our eye for sure. All right, when we get back, another little quick break. When we get back, let's get into the race report, and we'll start things off with a look at the headline categories, Senior Shifter and 100cc Senior.
There's a new hot button name in American safety equipment, Stilo USA. Every product with Stilo is focused on safety, comfort, and function. Stilo USA is happy to provide you with the proper safety apparel to keep you protected on the track, and their karting lineup is second to none. The ST5 KRT karting helmet is available for $599. Manufactured using a lightweight and extremely strong composite material, the KRT provides an excellent fit and comfort level due to its dual density interior foam lining, and it's equipped with a symmetrical visor that offers excellent vision and an effortless central visor locking system. The ST5 CMR standard was developed jointly by the FIA Institute and Snell Memorial Foundation to ensure safer and lighter weight helmets for the younger karters. Drivers rave about the superior comfort levels, lightweight construction, and the unparalleled field of vision. The perfect youth helmet is available for $549. Stilo didn't stop with their helmets either. The newly developed Carbon Curva Rib Protector is unlike any on the market, with its form-fitting solution to offer superior protection. Head to stilohelmets.com to review these and many more products to keep you safe on the track. Stilo. Any competition, one helmet.
Made in the USA. That's exactly what you get from Precision Karting Technologies. Based in Detroit, Michigan, PKT brings over 35 years of manufacturing experience to the sport of karting. Their passion for the sport began focusing around the Kid Kart platform and has expanded every year with hundreds of products designed to put you on the podium. Precision Karting Technologies is known around North America for their successful line of axles available in all age groups. PKT manufactures a number of engine products for Comer, IAMI, Rock, Rotax, and the popular Briggs & Stratton 206. A wide variety of chassis components for the many brands in the sport are available through PKT, including hubs, pedal risers, skid plates, and other hardware for your kart. Axle straightening, chassis adjustments, engine service, and specific CNC machining projects are available through their Motor City headquarters. To learn more about the many products and services available from Precision Karting Technologies, head to pktaxles.com. Motor mounts. They keep your engine attached to your chassis, right? The answer is, they're much more important than that. Your motor mount is critical in transferring 100% of the power from your engine through to your tires and the racetrack. You need this to get on the podium each and every time you race. Odenthal Racing Products is here for you, providing the best motor mounts on the karting market today, all designed to make sure you're using all the horsepower you pay for. Odenthal Racing Products is a family-owned and operated business with decades of karting experience in providing products with unmatched quality and value for our racing community. The Pro Series mount for two-cycle engines, which is available in 0, 5, and 8-degree inclinations, provides a rigid structure to help keep vibration to a minimum without adding too much weight to your setup. The 4-cycle Easy Set system is one of the most popular mounts for the Briggs & Stratton 206 power plant. Multiple mounting holes provide the most adjustability depending on your chassis and seat placement. To ensure a tight fit to your chassis, our ORP wedge clamps get the job done, and they feature a number of design updates to provide a lower profile and lighter weight. The clamps are available from 28mm to 32mm in both standard and Euro-style sizes. And now, Odenthal has also revolutionized the karting industry with its new Easy GP camera mounting system. Designed to mount anywhere on your chassis with one or two cameras, the ORP Easy GP camera mount is your solution to capture that onboard winning moment. Head to odenthalracing.com and find a dealer near you. Odenthal Racing Products, proudly made in the USA.
Back at it here on the ECAN Radio Network with our debrief of the Challenge of the Americas T2, the second run in Tucson. This is episode 126 of our debrief. Time to jump into the race report now, brought to you by the Skip Barber Racing School. Are you looking for the next step in racing? Go from karts to cars with the Skip Barber Racing School. Skip Barber alumni are champions in every motorsport series, including Formula One, NASCAR, IMSA, and IndyCar. Get behind the wheel of a Skip Barber Formula 4 car featuring a 160 horsepower turbocharged engine. Our highly structured and competitive Skip Barber Formula Race Series is the perfect platform to start your racing career so you can fulfill your dream of becoming a champion. With equalized race cars and a focus on driver development, your driving skills will determine if you end up in victory lane. Learn more about the Skip Barber Racing School at skipbarber.com or call 866-932-1949. All right, Dave, let's jump into Senior Shifter. It was a solid group of drivers and some really good racing, to be honest. The class brought to you by Sweet Tech Racing Engines on the Challenge this year. And here is the headline. Avancino and Leduc pick up their first wins.
Yeah, Saturday was an actual sweep on the record books for Michael Avancino, the driver for Ron White Racing on the CRG. Set fast time in qualifying and won the pre-final. However, the main event was a little bit of a challenge in the early part of the race. Avancino actually got shuffled back to third as it was Nick Leduc and Keon Tandon that were running 1-2. A little bit of contact between the two drivers in lap 5 and turn 4 brought a little bit of controversy, a little bit of anger. I didn't see the move. You said you kind of saw it a little bit.
No, I literally missed it too. I was looking down at live time and I looked back up and all of a sudden, you know, Leduc was out on the side of the track and Tandon was well back. I don't know what happened.
Yeah. So contact happening between those two, as you said, Leduc on the side of the racetrack and Tandon continued on, but further back down the field or down the order that essentially gave Michael Avancino the lead as he went on to drive away to a 3.7 margin of victory over fellow CRG and Ron White Racing driver David Williams for a CRG 1-2 finish.
Yeah, Alan Shuto ended up finishing in third spot. He was kind of right there in fifth for a time, had a good start, got a good launch, and settled into position. Tandon was able to fight his way back forward after the incident that dropped him quite a ways back. He ended up getting back up to P4 ahead of Lucas Weisenberg. So GFCs were 3, 4, and 5. All told, like you said, just that contact between Tandon and Leduc early in the race kind of changed everything. I believe it was kind of like they were trying to do kind of an over-under move, and it just didn't kind of work. On Sunday, David, we talked about Avancino. He kind of picked up where he left off and qualified on the pole, laid down a strong lap, 47.868, a couple of tenths of a second quicker than he turned on Sunday. But Nick Leduc got off the line pretty well and was able to win that pre-finals to set things up for the main.
Yeah, as we saw on Saturday, Leduc kind of picked up the pace as the day went on and was able to challenge there at the end until the contact. But, you know, Sunday, it proved to be a little bit better for Leduc, staying out of trouble, winning that pre-final and essentially getting the whole shot victory. Got the grab the lead from the start, was challenged early by Avancino a little bit, but it seemed like everybody was kind of waiting for their carts to come in. And when they did, it was actually David Williams who really showed strong, was able to get around Avancino and really put a lot of pressure on Nick Leduc. But Leduc, the veteran, was able to hold Williams off. Williams making his first year in the shifter cart category. So it was good to see him. He challenged, but really wasn't able to make a move and, you know, tried at the line, but came up 98,000 short as Nick Leduc took the victory.
Yeah, I kind of figured that potentially Tandon would have stepped things back up because he had really good speed on Saturday, but really just couldn't find any more on Sunday. So with Leduc, you know, and battling with Williams, Avancino was right there kind of in P3 a little further back. Tandon ended up in fourth and another top five for Alan Shuto as well as he capped it off. And indeed, just, you know, big wins. Avancino getting out of the gate, his first challenge victory, looked very good after a strong, debut in the opening weekends in February. I look forward to see what he can do in Sonoma when we get there in April. And, of course, Nick Leduc, he'll be strong in Sonoma if he decides to race as well, his home track. So, nonetheless, good racing there in the shifter cart category. And we had the same thing, a lot of action in 100cc Senior, presented by Forward Direction Motorsports. Here's the headline for that category. Archer earns career first with Kaminsky gifted second of season.
Yeah, a lot of action in this category, really both days, and all at the front of the field, if not throughout the entire field. Yeah. Kane Martin, this guy's able to put down some fast laps in qualifying. He did so on Saturday, put down a 51.867 to secure the top spot in qualifying. But Keegan Kaminsky, a winner in February, was able to come through with a pre-final win. So he started and led the field to the green flag in the main event. It was a lot of good racing up front, good shuffling for the lead throughout the main event. That was up until probably about lap 16, I want to say, when a wreck involving Ryan Pursing and Liam Letch in turn 4. Pursing essentially flipped over and slid a long distance and down through the gully and in the dirt with the cart still on top of him. So officials quickly ran over, was assessing the situation. A radio call asking for medic after the event was made, a confusion with the wind and hearing over the radio, and a partial red flag came out as the head flagman put the red flag up. I think it was just for the leader, who at that time was Dylan Archer, and then quickly dropped it before he actually waved it. So it kind of went up in the air and then went back down. I think you can confirm that with me, Rob.
Exactly that. Excuse me. And you can obviously the drivers at that point had been through the accident scene a couple of times, right? They knew that the driver was off track. That's the one thing. So for a guy like Dylan Archer, the red flag came out. He was probably expecting it or thinking it could come, knowing that the driver was off the track. So when the red flag kind of came up, he immediately slowed down, which kudos to him. Like, that's exactly what he's supposed to do. He slows down, pulls off. Kaminsky keeps going. Kaminsky actually passed him. And so it was kind of, that was kind of the weirdness is that,
the race essentially continued because
the race continued. We kept going, although people had moved back, people had got, Archer primarily had slowed down. So in essentially what happened, they realized, hey, listen, the minute that red flag came out, we essentially had to cap that race because the race went through to the end and the checkered flag, David, was given to Kaminsky.
That's exactly it. So the race went through. Kaminsky, as you said, got through Archer when he started slowing down. I think there was actually some other shuffling of position as well behind them. But really the main thing was Kaminsky getting through and getting past Archer at during that partial red flag display. So officials ruled, reverted back to lap 17 prior to the red flag being displayed. So essentially gave Dylan Archer his first victory at the challenge ahead of Keegan Kaminsky. Josh Campbell in the third spot ahead of Kane Martin with Gino Sandoval in the fifth position.
And let's be real to kind of add to it. Archer had that race handled. He had an over second gap, I believe.
Yeah, because he had just gotten that lead when that wreck happened. So yeah. or lap prior to that. So he moved himself in the lead. And then I want to say Persing was third at the time and Letch was trying to get him into turn four for that position. So the top two were away. They got away from that wreck. And Archer had a pretty good distance on Kaminsky. As it was 7/10 prior to that red flag being displayed.
Yeah, so we had excitement at the end of that one, obviously with the race officials and a partial red flag. The excitement was kept coming into Sunday, let's put it this way. And it was last corner, last lap, really. David, you mentioned how quick Kane Martin was on Saturday. He came out of the gate, was super strong again, qualified on the pole, not quite as quick as he was on Saturday, and then would go on to lock down the main event pole position with a win in the pre-final as well. So, indeed, Martin did show great speed, as you had said.
Yeah, but there's just something in the main event. He got shuffled back. Dylan Archer and Josh Campbell were able to kind of lock together. And you know, as we continue to talk about, this is the way you win races, or you're supposed to, I should say, as you kind of get connected with another driver and let it be decided between you two, because Archer and Campbell went one nose to tail, Campbell on his bumper the entire distance, all the way up into the white flag when, all right, This is it. This is when we're going to go. And it was obviously Tucson going down the long downhill straightaway into the penultimate corner. That's when the action happens. And I was in turn one, so I didn't see it. So I'll let you call that.
All right. So as they come down, Archer, of course, goes defensive to the driver's left. Not enough, though, because Campbell was able to kind of force his way through, gets down the inside coming into 11, which is the left-hander. The lead's kind of back up to the final corner, turn 12. Campbell makes the move down to the inside, has the spot, kind of goes, you know, gets it rotated at the apex and pushes wide a little bit to kind of stop the over-under. And he's got it done. Coming back up the hill, Archer's kind of on the outside and feels like he has, I assume he feels like he's got enough room. And he throws it up the inside of 12. And there really wasn't enough room. He kind of got into the curbing a little bit, got into the side, like left front to right rear kind of contact. And that sent Campbell in this spin. He's, up in the air. I thought he was actually going to flip because he kind of got significantly up in the air. I know Sean Beer's got a great photo sequence of it because he was right there. And it's kind of up in the air. Campbell came back down. Archer's out. He's out on the outside of the racetrack, outside of turn 12. Campbell somehow does this 360 and is able to continue. Kaminsky slides through. Martin slides through for first and second. So Kaminsky gets the win because he was there. P3 was in the right place at the right time getting the win. Campbell somehow able to have enough momentum coming out of 12, David, that he still beat Liam Letch and Colin Roos, to the line. Because literally they were three wide of the line coming across.
Well, I don't think it was momentum. I think they had a big enough gap because it was a pretty big gap.
I thought he was going to flip.
Well, I'm saying. He was at almost at a dead stop, and then started back going again. But Kaminsky, he won the battle for third because Martin came on late. Martin, I think, got shuffled back to about fifth. Really came on late and was charging at Kaminsky, who was with the leaders at one time and then lost the draft. We talked to him after the race. He said the cart just didn't feel very well.
Tightened up a little bit.
So Martin could have possibly have been the winner had he gotten around Kaminsky prior up to that last corner. But Kaminsky was able to hold on. So picking up his second win in four rounds at the challenge.
Yeah. So it's Kaminsky by just over a tenth over Martin, Campbell, Letch and Roos. So indeed, some pretty good racing in both the headline categories, the senior shifter and the 100cc senior category. Another quick break when we come back for more of the race report brought to you by Skip Barber Racing School. We'll look at the 100cc juniors, 60cc and 60cc cadet. Then we'll wrap it all up after that with 100cc Masters and Master Shifter. Stay tuned. More to come here on the EKN Radio Network. As the winningest Briggs 206 team in the United States in 2023, Precision Performance Karting wants to get you to victory lane in 2024. As the factory team for Coyote Motorsports, Precision Performance Karting won the biggest four cycle races of the year, including Senior Light, Medium, and Heavy at the Cup Karts North America Grand Nationals 7 and winning an iconic Duffy at the IKF Sprint Grand Nationals in Texas. We also traveled north of the border to dominate the Cup Karts Canada finale in Goodwood, beating Canada's best Briggs racers. Our total focus is on winning, and we simply get the job done. Join our team, and we can help you win too. We have several levels of support available for 2024, from full-service arrive-and-drive programs to tent-only options. Our championship-winning PPK-prepared Coyote Zenith Karts are ready to power you to great results. Join our team today. To become a PPK driver or to learn more, contact John Seglum at ppkartingfl@gmail.com or check us out online at ppkkartingfl.com. It all started in my parents' garage. That's the foundation for MPG Motorsports, which grew from a small home garage in Indiana into one of the top race teams and kart shops in the industry. A true passion for motorsports runs deep in the DNA of MPG, which has developed strong connections within karting. Now based at the Whiteland Raceway Park in central Indiana, MPG Motorsports offers a wide range of opportunities through its race team while providing a full-service kart shop as an official dealer for the Kart Republic brand. The MPG Motorsports race team is led by ownership partner and karting champion Chase Jones and provides full trackside service and driver development. Be part of the MPG program at the USPKS, Stars Championship Series, and Route 66 Sprint Series events with arrive and drive opportunities available at those programs, as well as at the Whiteland Club races this season. A new 3,500 square foot shop is now open at the Whiteland Raceway Park in Whiteland, Indiana, and is the new home of MPG Motorsports. This new headquarters will provide local and regional racers with a full service race shop that provides a wide range of parts and supplies to racers, including the full chassis line of the Kart Republic brand. For more, head to mpg-motorsports.com and follow us on social media. Let MPG Motorsports take your motorsports career in the direction of your choice. Winning takes top quality equipment, flawless preparation, experienced coaching, and passion. And at Team GFC, we live our passion. Developed by American karting champion Gary Carlton, the GFC chassis has become one of the newest brands to reach the top of the podium in North America. GFC has garnered victories and championships at all levels of the sport since its debut at the end of 2018. Shifter kart drivers are at the front of the field in the GT14 frame, with the SS31 a consistent contender in tag and 100cc competition. Team GFC has arrive and drive packages available for all categories, including the mini and micro classes utilizing the GFC RR5 cadet chassis. These young pilots have the opportunity to be part of the Team GFC Young Driver Development Program. Learn from one of the best American karters with 28 years racing at the highest levels in the sport, offering personalized training on and off the track. Follow GFC Karting on Facebook and Instagram, or click over to gfckarting.com to learn more about joining Team GFC. GFC, live your passion.
Welcome back to episode 126 of our EKN Debrief, as we're into the race report right now for the second round, second event of the Challenge of the Americas, rounds 3 and 4 in Tucson. Today's race report brought to you by the Skip Barber Racing School. And we'll jump into the 100cc junior class now, brought to you by Nash Motorsports. And here's the headline: Eggleston and Sarfati cement their bids for championships with wins. They both, those drivers, very strong.
Yeah, Sarfati coming off a win in the opening weekend, but it was Eggleston who didn't get a win, coming in as the defending class champion. That was kind of the focus. Me and Nate talked about him in the outlap. He needed a good weekend. Yeah. Missed out on the pole position, as that went to Sarfati with a 51.78 7-0-9, but it was Eggleston that did pick up the pre-final win, so got the 10 bonus points there for picking up that race win. Main event time, however, it was Eggleston and Ybarra. David Ybarra locking up with the Arizona driver of Eggleston. Those two kind of basically broke away from the rest of the field. So again, we got to see a lot more of the duo racing throughout the weekend. So that was good to see drivers kind of picking up on that. So those two kind of were going to decide it. Ybarra took over with a few laps remaining, but Eggleston fought back. They kind of went back and forth, and Eggleston was able to essentially hold him off. It was a good charge. Ybarra nearly got him at the line, only 49 thousandths of a second. So again, a good race between the two drivers. Ybarra, one of the winners from last month. So not quite able to get a victory there, but came up just short as Eggleston picked up his first win of the season.
David, you mentioned 49 thousandths at the line. It was interesting. We haven't really mentioned it yet, but one of the things we saw quite a bit on Saturday, the first three races, were all photo finishes, right? We didn't really see anybody doing the over-under with the block down the end of the back straightaway, allowing a full over-under, whether it's the tires, whatever it may be. The leaders, even when they were defending, seemed to be able to get rotated and get really, really good bite up to 12. So really the only opportunity was drivers to kind of, you know, come out onto the straightaway and then do the quick little, you know, dive to the right, to the inside to start the drag race to the line. We saw almost
an over under on the final corner, not the penultimate corner, because as you said, the tires, I think we have more grip in them. You know, that's one thing that we continue to talk about with the Vega tires is they got more grip. So they're able to hold that, you know, even it's a narrow line, that defensive line after the long straightaway, they're able to hold that a little bit better. Some can, some don't. We saw some drivers, and we'll talk about it on Sunday, push off a little wide. So, it's just, again, an interesting part. And again, it's uphill too, so you got to get a good run out of that penultimate corner up to the final turn, because it's all uphill there too.
Yeah. So again, Eggleston with the win, Ybarra in second, Peyton Westcott ended up in the third spot, Nico Sarfati fourth, and Luca Popescu rounding out the top five. And things will get even more exciting, I think, coming into Sunday, and the kind of the battle at the end was wild to watch. Ybarra, David, let's because he was qualified P1 on Sunday. He was just super fast all weekend long.
Yeah, he was fast driver on Friday as well too. So fast Friday in the opening weekend. So both directions, Ybarra was among the quickest drivers both weekends. So that was good to see. So he was a little bit quicker, actually almost 2/10 quicker than what Sarfati did on Saturday. But I think it was contact that took him out of the pre-final. I did miss that. I know he pulled off early.
Turn one. Yeah. Something happened in turn one.
So contact, it might have been Peyton Westcott too, because she got shuffled back and maybe some others as well. But Ybarra actually pulled off the racetrack. So he actually ended up starting 24th in the main event, as Eggleston led them to the green flag for the main event. As the race started, it was Eggleston, Sarfati that was the 1-2 drivers. They got away from the rest of the field. So there's a lot of drivers racing for third, and we continue to watch Ybarra work his way up through the field. Eventually, he was able to get up into that battle for third and get into the third position. And then as the race continued on, he was slowly and slowly catching up to the top two drivers, who were, for the most part, nose to tail for a majority of the time.
Working together.
That was until obviously the last couple of laps when Sarfati took over the lead with two to go. So they were kind of going back and forth, and they continue that through the final lap. And by the time I think they got to turn four, Ybarra was right there. So it was kind of, became a three driver fight for the win. Head down the long back straightaway. Sarfati went to the inside at the end of the straight. So that kind of shut, and as they went deep, I mean, him and Eggleston, they kind of were like, okay, who's going to outbreak who?
Eggleston got even more to the left, right? He got inside of going into the corner, right?
I thought it was Sarfati on the inside.
I think Sarfati was leading, but didn't cover enough to the bottom. I think Eggleston got down to the inside on him. Maybe I'm wrong.
Okay.
Doesn't matter because
essentially they both push wide. Yeah, my photos are on the hard drive. I unplugged it already. They both push wide. This allowed Ybarra, as you talked about the over under, he he ran the normal racing line and cut under. So he essentially pulled the over under because he got to this, to the, almost got to the final corner first, but Sarfati was right there just enough. And, it, you know, they give credit to both drivers. They gave each other room, didn't want to make contact at the apex of the last corner. So Sarfati was on the inside there. Ybarra was on the outside, trying to hold the outside as best he could. And it looked like he had it. It really looked like he had it.
Yep.
Unfortunately, the way the track is designed there, the outside narrows up because of the way there's a cut through there. So a lot of the drivers will use that cut through as the exit and then cut back to the driver's right to get back set with the main straight line. Unfortunately, there's a curb there on the cut through, and that essentially cost Ybarra the victory because as he was trying to get through the exit, hold on the outside and cut back onto the straightaway, he hit the curb. It launched him up into the air a little bit in the dirt. So he lost a lot of momentum. Yeah. This allowed Sarfati to be able to win the drag race to the line. It was really tight. I can't remember. Let me see if it was listed what time it was. I don't see the time. They don't have the time because of a penalty, but we'll get into that later. But it was basically a photo finish there at the line between those two, with Sarfati first, Ybarra second, Eggleston third, a close third, but a pushback bumper penalty for Ybarra essentially took him from second to fifth, or from second place to seventh in the
order. Yeah, it was tough for Ybarra after what a great drive back forward. Like you said, started 24th, was able to get himself up into the fight. It was an amazing run.
73 thousandths, that's what it was at the line.
Again, I was going to say everything was right around that. We had the three finishes from Saturday were what?
6.8, 6.9, 6.9.
Yeah. Exactly, right? So it was right around that 0.07 of a second was the kind of drag race of the line. Indeed, Eggleston ends up finishing in second. He was third in the racetrack, ends up finishing second with a penalty to Ybarra. Dean Peterson was strong throughout the weekend as well. He was third. Johnny Stamps fourth. And Eric Doan rounded out the top five. But yeah, the racing up front was wild, right? You got to give kudos to Eggleston and Sarfati. Super patient, worked together, pulled away. But it was Ybarra that really, coming out of nowhere, just really kept digging in. He was just so unbelievably fast all weekend. And even though he started 24th, I think he was 12th or something like that by the end of the opening lap. He had a great for opening lap. But to be able to get up and fight like that, I just thought that was one of the highlights of the weekend.
Oh, certainly. And again, with a drop race, you never know what's going to happen in the championship. And that's something the challenge always produces. So this could be a three driver battle for the championship when we get to Sonoma.
Let's go to 60cc Cadet, brought to you by the Karting Collective. Here's the headline: Ramirez doubles up in series debut.
Yeah, Daniel Ramirez, making his challenge debut, was able to double up, but it wasn't him that was the driver to watch early on. It was Cam Becker, driver racing for Ford Direction Motorsports on the comp cart, was able to set fast time in the qualifying with a 56.021 and then win the pre-final. But again, the great thing about the 60cc cadet category, a lot of drivers in the mix, and that's something we saw the opening weekend. And again, we saw once again this time around, as it was Ramirez and Tarango that were able to essentially pull away from the rest of the field. So again, like we keep talking about it, the duos working together to get away from the field. You know, that's easier when you're racing one person instead of the whole field.
Yeah. So 16 laps in the main event for the cadets, and Lucas Tarango was the perfect wingman. He literally just pushed Ramirez around for 15 laps before he went. Like there was no moves, everything you want, right? Just be patient, just pull away. And they, you know, he got it done, just wasn't able to pull the trigger on the last lap.
Yeah, and you look at their fast lap, they both had an identical fast lap of the race of 56.785. So they were essentially they became one, you know, as the race was going on. So as you said, you know, he never left Ramirez's bumper, pushed him, just wasn't quite able to get a good run and be able to try and make a move. Ramirez did run a successful defensive line throughout the final lap and was able to hold Tarango off. And again, at the line, Ramirez over Tarango, 68 thousandths of a second.
Yeah, there it is. Exactly the same, right? That we talked about the fact that they were so similar. The drag race, the line there was just, it lined everybody up almost exactly the same. So, and again, Ramirez, Tarango, 1-2 across the line, very close. Cam Becker, you mentioned with the qualifying P1 and the pre-final win. He ends up in third spot over Drew Jensen. And Romero on the comp cart was actually in the in Paxton, the fifth spot there. Yeah, Paxton Romero was P5. Again, he's been good in the opening rounds in February and these ones as well, right in the middle of the championship fight. But Tarango came back and qualified on pole for Sunday. Not quite as quick as Becker did on Saturday, but we threw another name into it, David, that we didn't really talk much about on Saturday, and that was Braden Wagner. He arrived back on the scene having won both races in February. He wins the pre-final to put himself in the discussion for the main event on Sunday.
Yeah, it was just a little bit off there on Saturday. Wasn't able to kind of keep himself up towards the lead pack, but that was different on Sunday. As you said, was able to win the pre-final, and this time it was Wagner and Tarango that were able to pull away. So again, Tarango, this guy, he's like a maverick, you know, he's going to be the best wingman there is, right? That's it. Maybe he needs to get a maverick helmet paint. That'd be pretty cool. But yeah, again, they were able to work together and get away from the rest of the field. And again, Tarango kept on his bumper. Until with about two laps to go, that's when they started to kind of race again. So Tarango kind of pulled the trigger a little bit earlier. And I think this was what I missed. I didn't quite see. I think they were trying to fight for position. I think Wagner kind of got held outside. Is that what kind of happened?
I'm trying to remember again.
I thought it was through the S's there leading in up to turn four. I remember seeing some dirt and I thought, okay, well that, because they were up ahead, but it was, Ramirez leading the other group and they were slowly kind of starting to catch them. And then there was this contact with two to go that allowed the other three drivers to catch back up and make it essentially a five driver fight there.
I think Ramirez was leading that next group and they were able to catch up there. And I believe Ramirez may have made a move coming into the chicane out of turn one into the chicane. And I think he got to the inside. And I have a feeling that I'm trying to remember whether or not this is how it happened, but I think Braden Wagner had nowhere to go, right? He was on the outside, kind of cut the course into the inside to the left of the turn three chicane through the gravel, lost a bunch of ground coming through there, and everybody kind of rolled by him, right, coming out of turn number three.
Yeah, that allowed Tarango to take the lead through leading up to the white flag. Ramirez then moving up into the second spot. So now it was Tarango, Ramirez again, but Ramirez running second this time. And as they went down the long straightaway, Tarango kept the racing line, didn't defend, and Ramirez slipped to the inside and was able to hold it through the final two corners and win the drag race to the line for a second victory on the weekend.
Yeah, back-to-back jacks for Daniel Ramirez. Tarango ended up finishing second for the second day of the weekend, so good points for him as well. We talked about Drew Jensen in third, two top fives for Drew. Wagner ended up finishing in fourth, and Cam Becker, who is third on Saturday, capping off the top five on Sunday. So all told, this is going to be another championship battle for sure. Obviously, Ramirez didn't run the first two rounds, so he's not really in the championship discussion for Sonoma, but Becker certainly is. Tarango definitely is. Wagner definitely is. There's a lot of drivers, David, in the championship battle before we head to the finale in Sonoma.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to watch. And we'll obviously probably have some more wild cards in there as well heading up to Sonoma.
Another break, folks. When we get back with the race report brought to you by the Skip Barber Racing School, we'll cap things off. We'll talk Masters. We'll do 100cc Masters and Masters Shifter before we wrap it all up. In this day and age, if you need something for your karting program, it's just one mouse click away. One of the leading online stores in the sport of karting is tsracing.com. The Florida-based company has been serving the karting community for decades. TS Racing is one of the few kart shops with technical expertise in all divisions of karting. TS Racing's online superstore features a full range of the products you need to start karting today or to restock your garage or trailer for the racing season. TS Racing is also the official distributor for Vega tires. For dirt, road racing, sprint, and the most popular four-cycle tire with Cup Karts North America, a wide range of Vega compounds and sizes are available for your karting needs. Head over to tsracing.com today or call 352-793-9600 to learn more about the Vega tire brand or the many products that they have at TS Racing.
The new face of competitive karting in the Pacific Northwest region is RaceLab. The full-service karting operation is located at the state-of-the-art Kartplex facility in Oliver, British Columbia, Canada, providing everything you need to hit the track or put yourself in a successful driver development program. RaceLab is the official North American distributor for the TB Kart chassis brand, providing the full range of models from kid kart to shifter kart. Villeneuve Racing Karts is their flagship product, available only through RaceLab. The brand carries the name of Formula One champion and Indianapolis 500 winner Jacques Villeneuve, with each model produced by TB Kart. Kartplex, the home of RaceLab, is situated on the grounds of the Area 27 Motorsports Park. From full arrive and drive TB Kart rentals to leagues and competition karting, the facility provides a new home to developing the future stars of motorsports, all beginning at Kartplex with RaceLab. Follow RaceLab on social media on Facebook and Instagram, or load up their website at www.theracelab.ca to learn more about TB Kart and Villeneuve Racing Karts. RaceLab. Race with us, win with us. A leading name in high-performance engines is D2 Motors. Owned and operated by karting champion Danilo Ramalho, D2 Motors can power you to the top of the podium. D2 Motors has been servicing karters in North America since 2019 and is opening its doors to teams and drivers across the national and local racing circuits. D2 Motors is offering access to superior engine technology designed to elevate performance on the track. There is no engine platform that D2 Motors has not excelled at. They are a leading Rotax service center, along with developing championship-winning power for the IAMI and ROC brands. If you are seeking a competitive edge and reliability, partner with D2 Motors today. Call 954-895-6334 or visit D2 Motors Official on social media. D2 Motors, come and join the power with us.
Welcome back to episode 126 of our EKND Brief. We're taking a deep dive into the Challenge of the Americas rounds 3 and 4 at the Muscle One Honda Circuit in Tucson, Arizona. That event happening just in the very first weekend of March. And again, the finale into April in Sonoma. Let's continue on here with the race report. 100cc Masters presented by Ruthless Karting. Here is the headline. Welch secures first as Cook celebrates birthday win.
Yes, the Masters category, we saw a lot of fireworks and especially tech situations last weekend. Thankfully, we didn't have any of that. This weekend around, at least in the tech side of things. But again, plenty of action on track this time around. But this time, Greg Welch was able to secure a sweep on Saturday, set fast time in qualifying, won the pre-final, and then ended up winning the main event, something he wasn't able to do through the tech barn on Saturday in round one. It was a challenge with Casey Cook. Cook actually coming from last after a flat tire in qualifying and then another different flat tire in the pre-final. So both right side tires going flat at one time during qualifying and pre-final for him. So that started him back in the, sixth, seventh spot where at the tail of the field. So fresher tires.
It would have been seventh, but it was sixth because Travis Irving had to go home for Saturday. Yeah.
So again, and Cook kind of took it easy the first couple of laps and then was able to start making his way forward and slowly was able to get up to the back bumper of Welch. And they really, they ran one, two for the majority of the race. And then, you know, obviously it looked like Cook was kind of just setting him up for a last lap situation. Just wasn't able to make it happen. Welch did a great job leading every single circuit. And then once again, we saw a drag race. This was the second race of the weekend or third race of the weekend. And it was another drag race to the line, ending up in 68 thousandths of a second difference with Welch over Cook.
Yeah, Matthew Ostigai ended up in third, really wasn't in the fight up front. Steve Wiener was fourth, and Alfredo Anguiano was fifth. Tim Meyer was an early retirement in that one. So, indeed, Welch getting out of the gate strongly on the weekend, and I said dominated the day, and then decides he's going to move to 100cc senior for Sunday. That kind of caught us all off guard. We're asked where Welch was. he elected to like David, you talked to him. I think he figured that he was kind of out of the championship battle.
Correct.
After that DQ that he had back in February and figured, hey, if I can't win the championship, I might as well go add another stream of data for my Pantano guys in 100cc senior.
That's exactly what the situation was. He did say he's going to try and come back and run master's class on Saturday at Sonoma. So he might do, again, another back and forth for the finale weekend. But it did kind of change things up. But as you said, Travis Irving, who wasn't there on Saturday, returned back on Sunday. So an interesting situation for him. He was there all day Friday, knowing that his daughter's softball game was going to be canceled. They called him Friday saying, nope, they brought it back on the schedule. We're going to be playing Saturday. So he got back in his car, drove to California, got there, was ready to coach, help his daughter with the softball game. And then they canceled it when he was there. Crazy. So unfortunately got back in the car and drove back to Arizona to wrap things up on Sunday. So it was a really kind of exhausting weekend for Irving for sure. But with Welch gone and Irving back in, it was still Casey Cook, kind of the driver everybody was kind of keeping an eye on, but it was Tim Meyer picking up the provisional pole position, but a penalty for impeding during the session that took him down and put Cook back on top and leading him on the pole position. Cook coming through with the pre-final win after a pretty good, not too crazy pre-final, but we saw it was going to get heated. We knew it was going to kind of amp up in the main event. And essentially it did that. All the top four drivers, including Cook, Meyer, Irving, and Ostagai were kind of all right there, shuffling a little bit back and forth. I think it was trying maybe like an over under, and Irving and Meyer made contact with, Irving's rear bumper, Meyer's front bumper got connected, essentially locking them up, causing the contact and essentially taking both drivers out of the race. Meyer actually pulled into the pit lane, retiring early. Irving continued on, trailing in the third position. But that essentially gave Casey Cook the victory. Matthew Ostagai wasn't able to kind of really keep up with him as the race went along. So Cook was able to drive away to a 1.6 second margin of victory for his second victory of the season.
Yeah, Matthew Ostagai on the podium again in third, Travis Irving in fourth, Alfredo Anguiano and Steve Wiener rounding out the top five in that category. Moving to Master Shifter, presented by Ron White Racing. Here's your headline: Kozakowski earns first as Grossenbacher adds second.
Yeah, I think it should have been Grossenbacher 3 wins on the year, but you got to make it to the checker flag. That's one of the things that we always talk about in racing for sure. Grossenbacher, the top driver in qualifying and winning the pre-final, was leading the main event. And again, they ran the master shifter with the senior shifter guys. So Grossenbacher had a carrot out there. He was trying to get up into that senior group all weekend long. So he was running, pushing pretty hard all weekend long to kind of get his pace down and try and run with those senior guys, even at the master weight. But a shifter arm broke 15 laps into the 20 lap main event. So essentially putting Grossenbacher on the sideline as he was unable to shift the power plant, that handed the lead and the victory over to Rob Kozakowski, making his CRG debut with Ron White Racing, earning a 4.3 second margin of victory over
Michael
Faker.
Yeah, so Michael Faker ends up finishing in second on the Burrell. Colin Livingston of the Canadian coming down to run with Ron White Racing on the CRG was third. Fourth, of course, Grossenbacher, only the four drivers in the category. Grossenbacher ran the rock, the Vortex, for Saturday, but David bolted on the TM KZ power plant for Sunday. And essentially at that point, error-free, no issues, no mechanicals, nothing on track, qualifies on pole, wins the pre-final, and walks away to a 5.8 second win in the main event on Sunday.
Yeah, essentially a four-tenths of a second quicker in qualifying than he was on Saturday with the two different engines. Now, you look at senior shifter, Avancino did get quicker by about 2/10. So say what you will about the engines. I think with the Masters guys, there's not a lot, maybe a tenth, I would say, maybe 2/10 between the Vortex and the KZ. So we'll just kind of throw that out there. But yeah, a wire-to-wire day for Grossenbacher on Sunday.
Yeah, Michael Faker stepped up a little bit as well. He was able to finish second again, this time ahead of Kozakowski. He was actually quicker than Kozakowski throughout the day. So Faker takes second again, Kozakowski third, Livingston in fourth, and that caps off the race report for this edition of the Debrief. One more break in the action. We get back, folks. We'll wrap things up. We'll look at the Constructors' Championship, and we'll cap it all off with the EKN Trackside Live Race Calendar.
Established in 1999, PSL Karting has become a powerhouse within the karting industry for North America and around the world. PSL Karting is your complete source for all Burrell Arc products as the North American importer, providing this top quality product through both their expansive dealer network or through the PSLKarting.com online store. Whatever you need is available 24/7 online, including safety gear, parts, components, and full karting packages. All three brands, Burrell Arc, Ricardo Kart, and Charles Leclerc Karts, are in stock and ready to hit the track. Grab your winning chassis for any category by visiting PSLKarting.com to find your nearest dealer. PSL Karting is always looking for interest in new dealers and teams to help create new business relationships. Drivers looking to take their talents to the next level can join the Burrell Arc North America race team, competing at all the major U.S. and Canadian events this season. When you're ready to win, go with PSL Karting. Prepare for the adrenaline with the best handcrafted materials in karting today. That is the guarantee that Croc Promotion Chassis provides to you. Available here in the U.S. by Croc Promotion USA. Owned by karting industry veteran Ivan Bodnar, Croc Promotion USA is the importer for the European manufactured brand that has been making history since 2017. Croc Promotion is riding into 2024, celebrating two victories in the IAMI Warrior Final with Collie Atkins in senior and Harry Bartle in junior competition. That same chassis for senior and junior drivers is available here from Croc Promotion USA, along with their KZ shifter kart model, 28mm cadet, kid kart chassis, and the four-cycle version for the North American market. Croc Promotion USA has dealers reaching the West Coast, Texas region, and the Midwest, and is looking to add to its network in 2024. Visit crocpromotion.us to learn more about the chassis brand and to become our newest dealer. Croc Promotion, born to ride, ride to live. Let decades of experience and success lead you to the top of the podium. Join Brandon Jarsocrack Racing as your race team at the sport's major events in the United States. Brandon Jarsocrack is a four-time United States Pro Kart Series champion, along with a multi-time Supercarts USA Pro Tour and WKA Manufacturers Cup Series race winner. Jarsocrack is ranked among one of the best from his generation to get behind the wheel of a racing kart. BJR provides full race team service and support at all USPKS, SCUSA, and Stars Championship Series events, along with trackside programs at the Trackhouse Motorplex in Mooresville, North Carolina. Partnering with Mike Doty Racing, Brandon's team of driver coaches and mechanics are passionate for the sport, providing decades of experience both on the track and working with many of today's karting standouts and current motorsport stars. Brandon Jarsocrack Racing offers a full range of services, including kart preparation, driver coaching, and race event support for both two-cycle and four-cycle competitors. BJR is an official LN Racing Kart team with OTK USA and is an official offset sport race team. Contact them today to develop a program based around your needs. Head to BrandonJarsocrack.com to learn more.
All right, time to put a cap on this edition of the EKN Debrief podcast. Again, episode number 126. My name is Rob Howden, joined by David Cole. So we'll cap things off from the our race report program of the Challenge of the Americas event in Tucson, Arizona at the Musselman Honda Circuit. Dave, let's wrap it up. First and foremost, you just think about the weekend experiences. Much better weather here in March than we had in February. We had hail on Friday in February. Other than a bit of wind, even more wind on Saturday afternoon than Sunday afternoon, it was literally perfect. Blue skies, temps anywhere between, 71 and 75 at the high of the day. It was gorgeous.
Yeah, that's exactly what you want when you go to Arizona. And, you know, it's not too hot. But like you said, the wind kind of kept things a little cooler. Actually, Sunday night, we were kind of freezing when the sun was starting to go down. So yeah. The wind did kind of pick up there on Sunday, brought in a little bit of cooler air. But still, you know, better weather in March than in February, definitely for sure. And again, we had kind of the half of a red flag because so it was a little bit of a safer weekend, not too many other wrecks, major incidents that we saw on the weekend. And Ryan Pursing was able to be walk away from the incident that he did have. And again, the Josh Campbell one we thought for sure was going over. So kudos to him for sticking the landing.
Exactly that. So again, now obviously with the lower numbers, that was a talking point throughout the entire weekend. The way things kind of will shake down with schedules now, the focus moves forward to the finale, the championship finale weekend in Sonoma in April. Numbers should be a lot, it should be stronger, David, across all the categories. And I'll throw this out there. You can add a little if you want, maybe a seventh class added to the weekend.
Yeah, we heard some grumblings from Andy Saisman. So there is maybe possibly something in the works. So when we do hear more information, we'll let you know. But that should be making an interesting, cool thing to kind of bring in the local flavor.
Yeah, I like it. Let's look at the Constructors' Championship here now as well, David. 8 different brands on top of the box with the 12 final events.
Yeah, again, the diversity that we saw, you know, CRG pickup 2, GFC pickup 2, Nitro Kart pickup 2, with the one driver in Daniel Ramirez. Again, only one driver picking up a weekend sweep. So, and that was in the 60cc cadet class once again. So that's mm-hmm. interesting to note as we get into Sonoma. And then the Pantano picking up 2 wins as well. So those 4 chassis picking up 2 wins, and then you got Sody Kart, TB Kart, Gillard, and Tony Kart all with 1 victory. So a good diverse chassis winning on the weekend.
Yeah, it's interesting when you see a team like Tony Kart that wins a lot of races, right? Over on the West Coast, the CRGs have a strong group, especially in the shifter kart categories. And then, of course, we've seen the single speed for CRG step it up. David Ybarra, right, has been making stuff happen. GFC's always been strong on the West Coast. You've mm-hmm. got the Pantano with Greg Welch. It's a lot of interesting stuff happening on the West Coast in terms of different brands coming forward with different teams to kind of making things more spread out.
Yeah, you got the big manufacturers, like you said, Tony Kart, Sody Kart, CRG. Then you got the kind of not necessarily second level, but the smaller
boutique brands.
What's that?
A boutique brand.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. Or those focus, designed differently. You got TB Kart, Pantano, Nitro Kart, GFC. So yeah, it's pretty good. We love to see that.
Yeah, let's have a look now at the ECAN Trackside Live race count. We'll let you know where we're going to be for the next few weeks. Today's calendar presented by CRG Nordam. CRG is one of the most iconic brands in karting, and we're primed and ready with new material and a never-ending focus on winning. CRG Nordam is the North American distributor for all CRG products. Based outside of Houston, Texas, CRG Nordam supports CRG dealers across the continent, reaching every corner of North America. Check out the CRG KT5 for tag and shifter racing, the Black Mirror for cadet competition, and the FS4 for Briggs. Longtime CRG drivers will be happy to know that the CRG Road Rebel, the standard in quality and performance, is still available. For more information on the CRG product line, head to www.kartcrg.com. And to inquire about a North American dealer near you, please email us at info@kartcrg-nordam.com. All right, David, out of the frying pan, into the fire for you. You're home for only a couple of days. You flew home on Monday from Tucson. Tuesday, it's Wednesday here right now. Tomorrow, you're going to be heading to Orlando for the opening round of the Supercarts USA Pro Tour Winter Nationals. Again, the Orlando Kart Center, the March 8th, 9th, and 10th. I'm only going to be a couple hours from you. But for me, with the conflict with the Grand Prix of St. Petersburg and what I do with the USF Pro Championships, this will be the second Pro Tour race I miss in, 14 years. So it's sad that I won't be able to be there for the Winter Nationals, but I guarantee it's going to be some great racing at Orlando.
Yeah, I think that evens us out now. No, I missed 2 last year, didn't I? I missed both winter and spring.
There you go.
And then I think I missed 1 other. So I think I still got you beat. But
I'm gonna miss the spring nats too, so we're gonna be tied up.
Yeah, we'll probably be even up at the end of the year. But the 15th season of the Supercarts USA Pro Tour. So that's kind of the headline of it. Certainly. And then heading back to Orlando after running there last year, I wasn't there for that race, but it was certainly a weekend of fireworks and a lot of interesting storylines that happened last year and obviously continued on throughout the rest of the season. So I'm interested to see how SCUSA hosts a race. I've been there for USPKS, so I've seen that. But we also are going into a new era with the SCUSA Pro Tour, and they're doing their pro show Saturday night and Sunday night with X30 and Shifter. So that's going to be kind of the two headlines with the 15th season and the new pro show going into the weekend.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing your coverage on that. David, of course, will have the preview coming up. He and Nate Dean and record the Outlap podcast as well today. So look forward to seeing that as well. Again, these two races we're talking about here in the race calendar, actually, I won't be at. They'll be just David for that one there. The USPKS is the next one on the docket, April the 5th to the 7th. So essentially almost a month later, first week of April, the USPKS getting things underway, David, with the Texas Grand Prix and Speed Sports Racing Park in New Caney, Texas. I love the fact that some major events like the USPKS are now going to Speed Sports. It's a track that definitely deserves it. You've had a chance to be there now yourself, so you understand what I've been talking about over these years. But USPKS lining up for a fantastic season again this year.
Yeah, certainly is. And again, a phenomenal facility. I think this is going to be a great way to start the year going to Texas. That's one of the focal points for USPKS for the last couple of years is trying to get an event to Texas. They did so last year. It was a big hit, basically filled up the entire paddock. And I think we're going to do that again, if not more. And, Mark Coates and them are really excited to open up the season down there in Speed Sports. And again, it's going to be an interesting season, and they're starting a little bit later. So I think that might play in their favor. Yeah, they're not going to get that Florida bump that you might see, but I think you're going to get that Texas bump, especially with it being the first round. That I think is a key aspect because a lot of people love going to that first race of a championship, seeing where they size up with everybody else. And especially if it's your home racetrack, there should be no reason why you're not there. So, whether you're in Orlando and going to the Pro Tour race this weekend or USPKS in April or even Sonoma, that's the one thing, Sonoma, they're bragging about how big their numbers are. Let's see you all at the challenge. All your engines are available. Let's all see you there. So
that's it.
So that'll be the deal. So,
yeah, and David, we talk about March 8th to 10th, SCUSA Pro Tour Winter Nationals, April 5th to 7th for USPKS Texas Grand Prix at Speed Sports. It's another back-to-back weekend for you because you follow up from April 12th to the 14th. You mentioned the challenge already. That's the finale for the Challenge of the Americas, April 12th to 14th in Sonoma. You and I will be back together trackside for that one as well. I'll be calling the action from Sonoma. So another back-to-back weekend for you there. You'll be right into USPKS, right out of that into Challenge. So it'll be a good start to April for you.
Yeah, it's a good start to the year. That'll be my third back-to-back trip. So, I don't think I have any more the rest of the season, but it's cool. It's cool kind of bouncing back and forth. You get to see, especially this year, doing the challenge and then going to SCUSA or then going from USPKS to challenge. It'll be seeing some different people. So you're not seeing the same people back-to-back weekends, which I think that's a good thing because, now that we're getting into the season, back-to-back weekends are no fun for a lot of people.
Indeed. Well, listen, the Q1 was crazy. The amount of races that they had in Florida during the first 3 months of the year, let's be real. It's too much. Everybody's going to be burnt out by the time we get into April. Hopefully they'll be able to get a chance to have a quick breather because obviously the first 3 months of the year, absolutely crazy. Let's wrap things up here though, folks, with this edition of the Debrief number 126. We capped off our trip to the Challenge of the Americas in Tucson, Arizona. Beautiful weather, as we had said. The race was tremendous. Everybody in the challenge, those in the championship battle, of course, looking forward to the championship finale weekend at Sonoma on April 12th to the 14th. That wraps up this edition of the EKN Debrief here on the EKN Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in, folks. On behalf of David Cole, my name is Rob Howden. Bye for now.